Welcome to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast with me, Maya Fisher-French.
And with me, Mapalo Maku.
Each week, we'll be discussing the stories we're working on and which you can read more about in the City Press. After the last few weeks, we've focused on keeping our heads above water during this coronavirus chaos. But Mapalo and I have had a lot of people asking us whether they should start investing, given that the market has fallen so much. But firstly, Mapalo, I mean, is this a time to start committing money in the long term? You and I have had this ongoing podcast discussion about you buying a car for you. And you told me last week, you're so glad you didn't buy a car.
Yeah, Maya, I ended up not buying my car. And I told you because the reason really was because I did not like what was being presented to me. So I thought, you know what, let me be patient and wait so I can save enough for a car that I actually want. So that actually quite helped me a lot because I didn't commit to this big purchase. I didn't know that we'd be experiencing a complete lockdown, which is affecting my income as well. So I'm actually glad I didn't go for that big purchase, Maya. But now the question that I'm asking is, should I be putting this money to work elsewhere?
Interesting. So I actually, once a year, I save up money during the year. And once a year, I actually put money into my offshore portfolio. And I was supposed to do that in March. And when the Rand crashed, I thought, do I still do it? Don't I? And while sitting on that fence, my husband and I sat down, we're both self-employed. And we said, you may be right now, it's great to have that money that we can just stick in the bond and just keep there as a little bit of security. So I think Mapalo and I are coming from a bit of a different angle. But for a lot of you out there, maybe you're employed. You've got an emergency fund. You've got manageable debts. You don't need to worry about retrenchment. Your company is an essential business and you have money to spare. And you want to know, okay, the markets are down a lot. Is this time to start testing the waters? So we have invited Craig Pfeiffer, who's Chief Investment Strategist at Absa Stockbroking, to give us some investment guidelines. And so thank you, Craig, for joining us. And maybe start off with advice that you're giving your clients.
Well, I think, thank you for having me. I think the first bit of advice generally in all of this market mayhem has been not to panic and not to sell. A lot of clients are invested. And when we're investing in the market, it's a bit of a stuck record, but we always say it's about the long term. And that's where I differentiate investing from trading. And trying to, you know, get in and out of the market and make a quick buck, and that's fine and fun for a very small portion of your portfolio. But generally, you want to be, looking at the longer term. And when you're looking at the longer term, equities is the place to be. You have to live with all of that volatility. Share prices go up, they go down, they go up and down in the same day, in the same hour. They go all over the place. But you need them to be moving. For them actually over the longer term to be moving up. So I think we look at the market as the place to grow your investment portfolio over the longer term. But we do have these very unnerving times when markets come off, and they come off quite dramatically. And this year, I think if we go back to January, we're probably still around 20% down from that peak. And from the low that we got just 3 weeks ago, we were up 25% again. And these are very, very unnerving times, I think, to be in the market. But overall, when we look at it, we have to discern what's greater value and what's just a lower value. And I think that's what investors need to look at and consider. The market index, a lot of share prices have all come off very substantially. So does that mean they're cheaper? Or does that mean, that there's more value to be had? And I think that's what you have to think about carefully. I think taking a longer term view, a broad view of the market, this is probably a good time to be getting into the market. There is a lot of value on offer, but there are a lot of traps as well, I think. If you look at the likes of Sasol, it's cheaper for a reason. There's individual business reasons why it is where it is. That share was 650 Rand in 2014. A couple of weeks ago, it was 25 Rand. So does that mean 25 Rand is cheaper and offering a lot more value? Is it going to be going back to 650? So I think that's, you have to look at those individual shares and make up your mind. But I think the broad view, I think the market has come up quite substantially. If you're taking a 10-year view, you can definitely look to be investing in the market. You have to be going in when there's a sort of maximum pessimism is the phrase.
So remember I told you the shock I got when I opened my investment statement just last week. It literally had lost almost 40 to 50% of its value. And I don't know, you know, I think as an investor, you think to yourself, am I on the right track with this investment?
That's a good question. I mean, Craig, is this a time also to review your investments and say, you know, if the market was down 20% or, you know, even 25%, but Mapalo's investment's down 40%, is there something she needs to be relooking?
Yes, I think, you know, overall, everybody should have their own investment plan, their own investment objective, and that will dictate, you know, also your own investment term. You know, what kind of instruments you're going to use, what approach are you going to use to finally get to that investment outcome? And that may mean different underlying investments for different people. So I would, you know, unless Mapalo was invested in only in listed property stocks, I would question why the portfolio is down 50% in, you know, when the equity market by itself is just down, say, 20, 25%. But you should be reviewing your investment portfolio on an ongoing basis. And that doesn't necessarily mean actioning anything. Particularly if you're in the equity market, you have to keep an eye on it all the time. You have to be watching your returns. And I think that's quite a prudent thing. Look at those statements every month, but not necessarily have to do anything. It's very unnerving. It's very unsettling when your equity portfolio does fall by these large amounts. But that's the market in its normal course of events. We go up and we come down. And if you stick it out for the longer term, there should be more ups than downs.
I want to get back to that comment, you know, that you made about Sasol. I know you and I had a chat yesterday and you were saying that it's probably the share you're getting the most questions about because it's so cheap. And maybe we can chat a little bit later about individual shares that you are looking at. But you mentioned with Mapalo's investments, property. So listed property is down. I mean, it's the worst hit by a long way of all the asset classes. Is this a time to start looking at putting some money into listed property, or is that sector really just absolutely hammered at the moment?
Well, it's absolutely hammered, but I think there are good quality companies in there that will, you know, will survive, you know, a good 10-year view. And we talk about returning to normality. I think normality is a little bit of a way away, and we're not sure what normality means anymore. But, you know, companies will resume business, tenants will resume paying. I think the problem with the listed property space is a lot of those tenants now with business shutdowns have just refused to pay. And there's some big blue chip companies that have retail stores that have decided that they're just not going to pay their rent while we're in lockdown. So that's going to play out for some time in the rental space and in the retail space even. People have lost jobs. Incomes have been reduced or lost. So that just reduces the amount of demand in the economy. And so people are going to be spending less. And it's not just, you know, a three-week shutdown that's impacting these companies. And we can look at it even broader. All businesses that have had to shut down now, there's going to be lower demand for their goods and services over the next, you know, couple of months and for some time. So it remains to be seen, you know, when we get to a period of normality, when earnings can be restored. But I think as far as listed property goes, it's going to be a tough time for some time to come.
And how does one, if you now say, for example, you said now is the time perhaps to start going back into the investment market. Now, you've got two types of investors, right? You've got the investor who's probably a bit more like me. I'll buy the general market. I'll buy some exchange-traded funds, unit trusts. I put my money in a portfolio. I'm not necessarily an individual share picker unless every now and then I see an opportunity. So is it the time to start moving into the broader indices now, or do you think it's still very much a stock picking environment?
No, I think the, you know, given the difficulties that different companies are having in different spheres. So we talked about Sasol in the oil space, and we've had, you know, the oil price wars and the shock there, and the shock being lower prices this time around. Banks have got their own particular issues at the moment. The prudential authorities asked them to to not pay out any dividends and big bonuses going forward. So there's a bit of, you know, something in that sector. We've talked about listed property. We talked about retail stocks, commodity stocks, also very much tied to the global commodity cycle and the demand for commodities. And we're looking at a global recession now, and quite a deep global recession. We're anticipating a bit of a recovery thereafter, but that impacts demand for commodities. So there's lots of different impacts in different spheres and sectors of the market. So I think overall, you know, the best approach to avoid any individual stock pitfalls is probably to buy the broad market, as you say, on this occasion. So we say that the market itself has come off quite substantially. It will recover, you know, over time and do well over 10 years. So I think without having to do all of that individual homework for all of those shares, probably the most prudent thing for most people is just to buy the market at these lower levels.
And if I was a stock picker, so if somebody did have a share portfolio, and I know you this week, you had your investment strategy meeting. Are there one or two stocks that you're looking at thinking the risks? It is so inexpensive now that the risks just, the price is so low that you can take the risk at this point. It offsets the risk.
Yeah, I think, you know, again, on looking at the market, you still need to take a broad exposure to the market. So, you know, you can identify those individual stocks. So we still, I think at this point in time, you need to, you know, if you're looking at it from the outset or from the start, just look to the top 40 stocks, those blue chip companies. It's also not a guarantee that, you know, things aren't going to unwind. Sasol again being the example, but stick to those large top 40 blue chip stocks and take a little bit of resources, your Anglos, your Billitons. I like Richemont, but there's so much price volatility. You know, you rather buy it in one of those dips somewhere below 90 Rand, for example. It's been between 80 Rand and 100 Rand over the last 2 weeks. So again, look for all those blue chip companies that you've always wanted to buy, but the prices were always too rich. There are going to be cases where, you know, a Richemont, for example, they are impacted by global demand, the slowdown in China, the demand for luxury goods. But this is a company that's going to outlast all of this and will do well over time. So I think this is a time to be buying those types of companies that really are quality, but their prices have been knocked down quite substantially, sometimes for good reason. But when we get back to a normal world, whatever that is, you should still do well out of it. You still got quality management and good underlying management business principles that will see you through.
And I suppose it's a good idea to sort of pick your price, as you said, you know, for your Richemont at 80, and you can actually put that in as a buy order. You don't have to immediately go into buy into the market. If you are, do you have a stock trading portfolio, you can actually place that at a specific price. So I think it's also important to just put your buy orders in at the price that you want.
Yes. And, you know, I think in this market, you probably do well over, excuse me, over 10 years, whatever price you get. But I think given the volatility, you can do a little bit better.
Use the volatility as your friend. And, yes, you know, going back to this idea of buying the broad market. So I think, unfortunately, we've lost Mapula because of Wi-Fi reasons. So I'm going to ask the question she actually wanted to ask, which was, okay, so say she has 100,000 Rand now, and she wants to start putting it into the market. Is this a invested all this month, or is this something to put, you know, to phase in over the next couple of months? How would you approach putting a lump sum into the market?
Yeah, excuse me again.
Oh, please don't cough. Coughing is a really bad thing, everyone. He is alone.
I'm socially isolated in my little study.
You're socially isolated.
Yes, I think, you know, sometimes we say we've got a large lump sum that we, you don't know the volatility, you don't know how it plays out. So, you know, invested in a couple of tranches, you know, a third, maybe, you know, a month apart. But I think, you know, for say 100,000 portfolio, 100,000 Rand portfolio, identify say 10 stocks that you want to buy. You've done your homework. Those are the 10 you want to buy. And then, you know, just have a look at the price movements in those individual stocks, set your entry points, and then, you know, just bide your time and wait for them and buy them individually. So not necessarily buying Anglos in third, but when Anglos gets to a price you're happy to buy it at, buy your whole Anglo holding and wait then for the Richemont one. And I think that's the best approach.
All right, Craig. So I think a lot of people are now asking themselves, how do I invest offshore? I think a lot of people actually just don't even know where to start. Is it possible to invest 100,000 outside of South Africa, and how do you go about it?
Yes, it's very much possible. There are a number of stockbrokers that would take 100,000 Rand. Absa Stockbrokers has a world trader account. The other stockbrokers have similar offerings where you give them your 100,000 Rand, they'll externalize it for you, typically into dollars or into an offshore hard currency. And via that trading account, you can log on online and buy your Google or your Amazon or your Facebook, just as you would for locally for Anglo American or BHP Billiton. So 100,000 Rand is it is possible. It's even possible with lesser amounts. But I think what you do need to look at and understand is the transaction costs. You're paying brokerage now, potentially in dollars or euros, and you don't want to be buying a whole lot of small holdings and have to pay, let's say, $20 for every trade. That might just push up the price that you're actually paying for those shares. So look at that. Look at the transaction costs, the custody fees, all of that in the context of your overall expenses of running that portfolio. But it's very much doable for 100,000 Rand.
And Craig, would it be a good idea perhaps rather than buying individual shares, because of course 100,000 Rands is 100,000 Rand, but by the time you put in dollars, especially now with the exchange rate, it's very small. Is it better to maybe buy just an exchange traded fund through the platform, a global one?
Yes, you can do that as well. So, I mean, the exchange traded funds are listed equities too. And it's actually useful to buy ETFs like that. And you can actually create a balanced type of fund just by buying listed ETFs. You can buy, equity listed ETFs that reference bonds or, treasuries, for example. So you can actually build a balanced portfolio using offshore ETFs in your offshore equity account.
Talking about bonds, so we've been speaking a lot about shares, and I think when people say, is this a time to invest, they often think about shares, they talk about Sasol. But what about government bonds? We saw this massive collapse in the bond market, obviously, when the Moody's downgrade came through. Is this the time to start stocking up on some government bonds?
Yes, I like the bond market very much at the moment. Yields have kicked up quite dramatically. We've had a big spike, and we've actually seen yields even improve a bit after that. Most of the big spike up was actually before the Moody's downgrade. I think the market anticipated the Moody's downgrade, but it was very much around the shutdown of the economy for 3 weeks and potentially longer, and the impact that's going to have on government revenues and ultimately then the budget deficit, and then how many more bonds we're going to have to issue by government to finance that big shortfall. And we've been running a budget deficit now for the last 12, 13 years. We've had to continue to issue debt. And I think that's why we've had these ratings downgrades. But that's pushed yields up to levels which I think are quite substantial, quite useful, and probably above where they should be given our circumstances, our standing as an emerging market, and do offer attractive yields in a global environment where yields are pretty low. We've seen interest rates being slashed around the world by central banks. So for local investors, I think bonds are a very viable alternative, a good place to look at for yield. Again, you must remember that yields do move around. So that means prices also move around. So there is an element of price volatility with bonds as well. But if you buy a five-year bond and you hold it to maturity, you can be guaranteed that you're going to get that face value at the end of the 5 years. And then you can ignore all the price movements in between. It doesn't matter. So yes, I think I would advocate staying in shorter dated bonds, anything up to 10 years. When you go out a bit longer, you get you have to hold them for longer to reduce that price impact. But yields of 10, 11, 12% even, or 12% you have to go longer, but 10 to 11% interest yield is pretty attractive. And government bonds are essentially the most risk-free assets that we can access as investors.
And how do you as an individual buy a government bond?
You can go to your stockbroker as well. So even with your stockbroking account, I know in our case, you can't access it online, but you can dial up, phone your stockbroker, and you can buy bonds through the trading desk. I assume there'd be similar arrangements elsewhere. So it's just typically with your normal stockbroking account. But again, I think you must understand what you're buying. You must, you know, it's great to just see a yield of 11%, but like any investment, you must just understand what, you know, the full ambit of what you're in for, and just understand how government bonds work. But it's a great place to be at the moment, I think.
And because you could also buy it through the Govy ETF, so as something that tracks the government bond index, which is the Govy, that could also be, I suppose, a way just to buy. But then you do get, I think, a mixture of 10 bonds. And the other one I wanted to ask you about is the RSA retail bond. So this is an interesting one for retail clients who don't necessarily want to go and open stockbroking accounts to access government bonds. And a couple of weeks ago, before the Moody's downgrade, and actually before the bond market blew up, I actually interviewed Terry Masumi. Now, he's director of retail bonds at National Treasury. So I just want to quickly play a clip from that interview because he describes so well how they actually work.
Our rates are not necessarily so much dependent on the repo rate that the central bank sets. They're more dependent on the sovereign bond yield curve, right? So our bonds are priced, or at least the pricing is derived from the sovereign bond yield curve. And so the determinants of that would be more macroeconomic factors rather than the repo rate that the Reserve Bank sets. So I don't want people to look at the repo rate and think, interest rates are probably going to go down over the next 12, you know, to 24 months. Therefore, let's stay away from retail bonds. What you really need to look at is what is the demand for our local bonds, and I'm talking about the wholesale bonds, and how might that then affect retail bonds? So if you look at, for example, some of the credit events, for example, the Moody's downgrade that might occur in the next 12 to 24 months, that's something that might have a negative impact as far as the country goes, but may result in rates actually going higher because you have international investors basically demanding a premium on investing in South Africa. And so you might then get our rates going higher because they're tied in or at least derived from the sovereign bond yield curve.
There was that flexible option. What did you call it?
Yeah, so it's called the restart.
Restart
option.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So is that still a product?
It is. So it applies to all of our fixed rate bonds. It doesn't apply to our inflation linked bonds at the moment, although we are looking at sort of introducing that to inflation linked bonds. But it is still very much a feature of the fixed rate bonds. And essentially what it does is it's a really nifty tool, particularly for investment planning, because it allows you to kind of actively manage your fixed rate bonds, so to speak. So what you can do is, you know, once you've invested with us and you've been an investor for over 12 months, whether it be the 2-year bond, the 3-year bond, or the 5-year bond, after 12 months, you can then go back and look at what the rate is, the rate that we offer. If that rate has increased, you can then come back and actually restart your investment at that higher interest rate. So it's quite a nifty tool, because what it means is that you're not locked into one particular interest rate for the entire period of the investment. So if you come to us, for example, today and you lock your investment in at 6.5%, which is our rate on the 2-year bond. In 12 months' time, if you come back and that same rate that we offer on the 2-year bond is now 7.5%, you then actually restart your investment with the interest that you've earned so far at 7.25%.
So does it go back over the last 12 months or only going forward now?
It applies if you've been an investor for 12 months or more, right? So the rate... you know, the rate that you can pick, look, even if the rate has gone down, you can choose to readjust it downwards. I mean, that's not something anyone would ever do. But what we're doing is we're saying, look, if we offer a rate that's higher in 12 months' time, you can then come back and restart your investment at that higher interest rate, if that makes sense.
Now, obviously, this interview was prior to that massive jump in yield and government bonds. But what he said has actually just happened. So the repo rate was cut. And so bank deposits rates have dropped. So if you wanted to go into a fixed deposit at a bank, you're going to get less than you would have sort of a month before. But the five-year RSA retail bond shot up to 11.5%. And that is unlike a government bond, normal government bond, that the capital can fluctuate. This is, you get your capital back plus that 11% over 5 years.
And Maya, he also talks about the restart option, which allows you to lock into higher interest rate after 12 months. So for example, if someone took a five-year RSA retail bond a year ago, they should definitely look into the restart option, right? At the new interest rate, which is 11% now.
Yeah, so I think 11.5%, and I think it's 9% on the 3-year one. So I mean, really worth knowing. Craig, are the RSA retail bonds something you look at? I mean, I know you can't buy them through the stockbroking platforms, but is that something your clients look at?
Yeah, I think it's just part of that retail arsenal of investments. You know, things that you should be looking at. Again, horses for courses. I think the restart option is quite a unique aspect to it that you probably don't get in other types of instruments. I mean, these ones you have to go to your post office or get from the Treasury directly. But the option to sort of lift up your watermark and invest in those high yields is pretty attractive. So if you can lock in 11% for 5 years in a very low interest rate environment, locally and globally, I think you're doing pretty well. And then, you know, if rates do kick up, then you just lock in a higher rate. And then just, you do have to have been invested for 12 months, but it does give you the option then to benefit from those higher rates for longer. The worst thing is rates go up and you can just restart again the next month. They only adjust the rates every month if they move more than 50 basis points. But it's certainly quite an attractive and appealing part or element of the retail savings.
I should just mention, however, that obviously because of lockdown, you can't go to the post office to get them. So you can only buy them.
Correct.
You can only buy them online at the moment. This lockdown is having a whole lot of consequences. And I think the minimum investment is R1,000. So very attractive. But I wanted to say thank you, Craig. Is there anything else that you feel, if I was a client of yours, that you would want to give me any last bit of advice? Or Mapalo, with her, apart from her state. So Mapalo's got a situation where she's one part of her portfolio has gone down by 40%, but she's also got cash. So what is your kind of closing advice to her?
Yes, I think, I've used the word unnerving quite a few times. And even unnerving for people who've been in the markets for a long time and have gray hair like myself. But we've seen a lot of this before. Some of this we haven't seen before, but I think the principles are still true. It's extremely volatile times. So I would just suggest, your investment decisions, ensure that they fit your long-term investment objectives. You don't rush into anything, whether it's buying or selling. And just be prudent and careful and think about things and understand whatever you're going to be investing in. A lot of people throw a lot of different new types of instruments, and this is the next best thing. Understand exactly what it is that's being offered. And just be prudent and cautious. There is value out there. There is a time to be looking to get in and pick up some of those bargains that have appeared. But again, do your homework. Think about it carefully. Think about it again, and then you can action.
Great. Thank you, Craig. And I'll just add my 2 cents worth, which is make sure that you have liquidity as well, because now is not the time for you to be to not have access to some easy accessible money in an environment where we're not sure about jobs, we're not sure about the economy. So, but definitely an opportunity. Thank you so much, Craig.
Thanks very much. Live long and prosper.
So that's a wrap for today. If our listeners would like to learn more about these or any money related topics, they can go to the City Press website, or to your website,
womanandfinance.co.za,
or my website, mayaonmoney.co.za.
And if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a WhatsApp voice note to 064-554-3959. And we look forward to hearing from you.
Because we want to know what it is that you want to know. You've been listening to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast, featuring contributors of the City Press Personal Finance Pages.